I was pronounced a sinner and unclean. It wouldn't have mattered how much preaching I heard. It wouldn't have mattered how much God was around me. But when He showed me what I was by nature, and what I was by practice, and what I was by choice, I saw the need for a Savior. And I realized there was, as Paul said, I had absolutely no confidence in the flesh. None. Because I knew there was nothing I could do to get out of the shape that I was in. But you know what? He said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. He opened my ears one day and I heard preaching. Amen. I'd been around it all my life, but one day I heard it. He stirred something inside of me and said, I'm what you need. And I thank God for that day. If you would turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 3, a thought that's been on my, as I was praying and trying to get ready for this meeting. The Lord put this message on my heart, and it's still on it today, and I'm going to try to bring to you today, and I'll probably read a little more than what I do other times, but to get this story across and to get this out, what I'm trying to get today, and I'm interested, and listen, I'm totally aware that we're under a day of grace today. We're no longer under the law. But I believe that it's still better to obey than it is to sacrifice. And God expects it be obedience out of His children today. And He don't bless me, I know, just because of what I do. But I do believe that some of His blessings is contingent upon my obedience. Now, when He saved me, He saved me for an eternity. I'll be absolutely no more saved when I get to heaven than I am right now. The morning I got in, I just got in. He saved me from the soles of my feet and to the top of my head. John said, I baptize you into repentance. He said, but there one cometh after me, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm glad I got baptized. I got submerged in it. I'm totally covered in it today. I'm not trying to get more, but my friend, there is more for us to have, and I'll try to explain that a little later. But I'm asking you today, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to dig ditches to get where you need to be today? In 2 Kings chapter 3, we've come into a place here that the second son of Ahab has ascended to the throne of Israel. Over in Judah, we have King Jehoshaphat. Now, since Ahab has died, the people of Moab were paying a ransom to Israel of several thousand sheep and rams, and they've quit doing that. But the first son of Ahab didn't see anything. He wasn't willing to go and try to do anything about it. And now the second son of Ahab has come along, and this is where we're going to pick up. And it's interesting to see this same king, Jehoshaphat, was the one that was in allegiance with Ahab when they went up into battle, and Ahab was smote that day. Ahab tried to hide and dress as he was the king of Judah. A pre-adventuring arrow found him and destroyed and killed him that day. And his son ascended to the throne. Then his son fell through a lattice. And his son became sick. And he sent over there and said, go and check Beelzebub and see if I'm going to live or I'm going to recover. But God spoke to Elijah and said, you go down and meet those men. And you tell them he will not come off of that bed because he did not speak of the God of Israel. And he said, and Elijah told him, said, it's not because there's not a God in Israel that you couldn't know these things, but you went about to find out from Baal, and you're not going to recover from this. Right after that, Elijah goes off the scene. Elisha comes on the scene, and this is where we're at today. And Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria. The 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother. But he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And the king Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people, and as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." And so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the kings of Israel, a servant, answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee?" Listen to this. "What have I have to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to thy prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them in the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look towards thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played and the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts." And it is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all the wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. It came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able, put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings are sure slain, and they have smitten one another, therefore Moab to the skull." And I want to stop right there and try to preach to you this morning. Are we willing to dig a ditch? Are we willing to do something that does not make logical sense? Are we willing to step out on faith and be obedient now? Here we have a story here in 2 Kings and chapter 3 of Jehoram or Jehoshaphat. And Jehoram, as they go out to battle here, and listen, it amazes now. If you go back to the first time when Jehoshaphat went out with Ahab, before he would go, he said, "Go inquire, is there not somebody of the Lord we can talk to?" And they go over there and talk to Micaiah, and before they go and get him, Ahab says, "Hey, this guy ain't got nothing good to say about me." And the reason it was, there was nothing good good to say about him. And so Micaiah comes and he tells him. He said, and they tell him, said, we want to hear good things. We want to hear pleasant things. There's a lot of folks that got up and got dressed and went to a house of God this morning to hear good things. My friend, they wanted to hear something that would soothe them in the ways of sin. But my friend, I'm telling you what we need today is to hear what the Word of God has to say. It doesn't matter if I agree with it. It doesn't matter if you agree with it. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. That which was wrong is wrong, will be wrong forevermore. It doesn't matter if the Democrats or the Republicans or the Independents, who's in charge, God's Word is the final say. My friend, we need to raise our children that if mom and daddy disagree with the Word of God, mom and daddy's wrong. If the man of God goes against the Word of God, he's wrong. The Word of God is right above everything else. This is the foundation of which it all sits today. If this Word is not right, if it's not God-breathed, if it's not a true foundation, then everything we believe is fault and fake. But my friend, I'm satisfied that this is the Word of God. And by it, many sons have been birthed into the family of God. But here we are, Jehoshaphat and Jeroboam on their way. And they get into the battle, or they get on the way. And listen, when he asked Jehoshaphat to go with him, he says, you've got more experience. You know more about it than I do. Which way shall we go? He said, let's go through Edom. It was a longer journey, but they didn't have to cross Jordan. Isn't it amazing how much further we're able to go instead of dying out to some things? My friend, Jordan represents death. Crossing Jordan represents dying out to things. But my friend, we'd rather go through Edom than we had to cross Jordan and lay some things aside. But they kept on going. Through Edom, we gotta get over there. And there's one thing they forgot. They forgot there's going to need some water. There's a lot of folks started out on their journeys. There's a lot of folks going in directions. And they forgot one thing. You're going to need some water on the way. What is that? Is that not representative of the Holy Ghost? Is that not representative of the Spirit? My friend, you can do a lot of things on your own, but you can't do anything that's pleasing to God without the Holy Ghost today. If He don't guide it, if He don't direct it, if He don't put His hands upon it, it's just a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. So Jehoshaphat, they get there now. The very one that didn't have no use for God. Listen, he took the idols of Baal. He didn't destroy them, but he put them away. But said he didn't get away from the other worship. And that worship was the worship of cows. And that was what separated the tribes. That's the reason Israel was one and Judah was a different king, because one was worshiping the animals and one of them wasn't. And now listen, he said, I'll put some of this up. He said, but I'm not going to destroy it. And he said, not only that, I'm sure not. He said, I'm surely not going to do away with what's paying my bills. He said, because what separates us from them is this worship over here. And my friend, listen, folks are willing to do a lot of things until it gets in their pocketbook. And then when they get in their pocketbook, it's amazing what they can stomach. My friend, this nation, this country you're living in today, look around, see how many of them, they was all for protecting something. But when the NBA pulled out and these others began to pull out and pull their money, my friend, some of them said, hey, it's costing us too much. I'm going to ask you something today. How much is it work to be right with God? My friend, what are you willing to give up to have peace and tranquility in your heart and soul and know you're living right today? Hey, there might not be a bunch of folks with us, but when we get to the other side, everyone that stood right will be right over there. Jehoshaphat, he said, hey, There goes old Jeroboam over to Jehoshaphat. And he said, the Lord's brought us here. Isn't it amazing? It don't matter how folks get to where they are. They may not have been to church in 20 years. They may not have prayed in 30. They may not have ever done what was right in the sight of God. But the first time trouble comes in their life, whose does it all feet? Does it all get laid? The Lord's done this. The Lord's brought us over here. And put it, listen, he hadn't even been consulted. He hadn't been talked about. He hadn't been looked upon. But when they got over there and got thirsty, it was the Lord's fault. Listen today, it's amazing what's going on over at the house of God. And my friend, listen, I've heard Brother Cook from down in Abbeville, Alabama say a lot of times, God's getting blamed for a lot of things, that the only part he had in it is when he had mercy on you. I want you to know something today. God was merciful unto these people. He had been justified in taking their lives. You do realize that he would have been justified if he had never dealt with me and you. He'd still been a just God. But he was a merciful God. And he dealt with me. Jehoshaphat said, is there not somebody that can get us in touch with the Lord? Not somebody that's can get a word of the Lord to us. And isn't this amazing? Now the king had went and numbered all of Israel. Jehoshaphat had brought all of his people. They'd went through Edom and picked up that ruler there and that bunch of soldiers. But there was somebody that nobody recognized and even knew was in the company. But there was an old man of God somewhere back in the ranks. And somewhere, I believe it's kind of like there's a fellow like kind of like Obadiah over there. That when he come upon Elijah, knew who Elijah was, said, don't kill me. He said, I know God called you away and you have me dead. He said, but I have took 100 of the prophets and hid them over there in the caves. And I brought them bread and water. There's probably somebody along the lines of Obadiah when they started leaving out said, hey, Elisha, we're headed out and said, well, I sure would appreciate it. I know my ruler don't care nothing about you. Said, but would you please go with us? I believe the word. I believe what God done. He give Elisha liberty to go with him. He said, you get in the Elisha may have been like most Baptist preachers and said, hey, they don't care nothing about you, man. He said, don't worry about it. It ain't about you. It's about me. My friend, listen, what God's doing in your life, it ain't so much about you as it is about Him. My friend, when He says go, that's the time to go. When nobody recognizes you're even in the camp, stay with it and go on. Well, they got down there and they got in trouble and they went looking for a man of God. It ain't amazing them. It ain't got no use for the church. Ain't got no use for nothing about God. As soon as death comes up, one of their family members want to have the funeral in the church, want to come get some preacher to say good things over them. Hey, I'm going to say this. If you ain't got no use for the church, listen, that's good Sand Mountain English. If you ain't got no use for the church while you're doing well, don't expect much help when you're gone. I'm just telling you like it is. It don't matter how well the words are said over you. If you ain't already made a change, it's too late at that point. I don't know about up here, but around home, everybody dies is right at the foot of Jesus. I'm just being honest with you. I ain't been in church in 30 years. They got some little old profession in Bible school way back there. And we'll take this stick and that stick and we'll try to build up. I'd be afraid of that. Brother Chris Kitchen said it like this. I would not trust a religion to get me to heaven that couldn't get me out of bed on Sunday morning. Yeah. Amen. 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 I'm just being honest with you. You know what? On Black Friday, I saw this the other day on internet. It said these folks don't have no problem getting up at 4 o'clock and going Black Friday shopping, but they can't make it to church on time. He said, I guess a $20 crock pot means more than God.
Yeah.
Boy.
That's right, brother.
I think I'm where I need to be.
Yes, sir. It's good.
It got quiet on that. I'm going to tell you what, when God ain't the preeminent, He's not a part.
Right.
I'm not going to get on that. Y'all may hear it before the end of the week, but I'm going to tell you, God just got one place. That's at the front.
Amen.
He's not a co-pilot.
Right.
He was merciful to these folks. They got over there. Before I kill y'all, I'm going to get back to Jehoshaphat over here.
Good.
He got over there and he said, hey, I want to hear from the man of God.
Yeah.
And this servant said, hey, there's one over here. And listen how Scott said, he poured water on the hands of Elijah.
Yeah.
I believe it's much to say he ain't near what Elijah was. He ain't as much as his son, but he might. And you know what? Jehoshaphat had more faith in him than the servant. And he said, hey, there's no doubt that the word of, if he hung around Elijah,
yeah,
and Elijah let him hang around, the word of the Lord's still with him. I feel certain of that. Just bring him on up and old Elisha come up. And the first one there, they didn't bring Elisha to them. They went to him. They got in such a distress. Instead of calling for the preacher, they went to the preacher. You can tell how serious the matter is. Instead of them calling for you, they'll come to you. And that's the way they did. All three of them kings sainted up to Elisha, and Elisha in there. They opened the door, and there was Jehoshaphat. He said, you dirty rock. Now, this is just Sand Mountain English here. He as much said, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. You ain't never had no good for God, nothing for God. You're still worshiping idols. What are you doing here in front of me?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he said. He said, but he could see around him, and there's Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
He said, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't even look on you. What he said. He said, well, that's harsh. There's some things, Brother Kevin, we don't have to put up with. I'm not dealing with you no more. I'm dealing with Jehoshaphat. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to dig a bunch of ditches. Now, can you imagine this? You know what they're wanting? Water. You know where they're at? In a dry valley. Can you imagine if you was parching of thirst and you was out there and there was no wells around, there's no water around, and the command is dig ditches.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure most of you are acquainted with physical labor. And when you do physical ditches, dug in dry, arid regions in the rocks and in the sand. They didn't have no track hoes or none of that. They have staffs. They have little implements, crude implements to dig with. And they said, make the valley full of ditches. Don't dig one ditch, but dig many ditches. Here we are, we're dying of thirst. They're up there watching us. While we dig ditches, we're going to get tireder, we're going to get thirstier. But listen, they knew, they had got to the point, they realized the only hope they had was in the Word of God. My friend, hey, that's the ticket. That's where sinners will get, every one of them. Where if you talk them to stand upside down, then hang upside down trying to get saved. My friend, you say, I don't know about that. You remember when the woman came to Jesus? He said, it's not meet to give the dogs the children's bread. She didn't get mad at him. She didn't say, I'm not a dog. She just said, truth, Lord.
Amen.
When you get in bad enough of shape, you'll do what he says. Digging ditches. Some of them others said, why are we digging ditches? Well, the feller told us to. I watched him when he come back across. After Elijah went up in a whirlwind, he had Elijah's mantle. And when he popped that water with that mantle, it spread. And so I'm just going to trust that the same God that parted the water far and before gave him the message today. My friend, they put great confidence in what Elisha had to say, and they dug ditches. And my friend, listen, they dug ditches all day, I believe that. At night time they dug ditches, and when they got done, those ditches was just as dry, and their mouths was more parched than they were the day before. And they went to bed that night thirsty. And my friend, they got up the next morning, and the Bible said when it was time for the morning sacrifice, the ditches begin. He said, listen, you're not going to hear rain. You're not going to hear wind. You're just going to see the ditches fill up. I want you to know something today. God ain't always in the noise. God ain't always in the lights and the flashing. But my friend, God is always in the filling of the ditch. I want you to know something today. Anywhere there's water, you'll find God today. And God moved upon it in the morning. And listen, aren't you glad that we're not under the old law? Back then they had a morning, they had an evening sacrifice. That was a time for prayer. That was a time for God to move. But we have a great high priest sitting on the right hand of God, daily making intercession. My friend, all the time, any of the time, he can move in our life today. But at the morning sacrifice, the ditches fill up. They was wanting water. God wanted to give them victory.
That's right.
They're getting a lot more than what they bargained for.
That's right, brother.
They're just wanting something to parch, cool the parched tongue.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give you that. He said, that's just a light thing.
Sure.
He said, but not only that, said, I'm going to deliver the Moabites into your hand. Well, the Moabites heard they was coming, and they went and counted all their men, got them all battle array. They got up that next morning, and they looked over there. They looked down in that valley, and it looked like blood.
Yeah.
Like that valley was full of blood.
Yeah.
That was a nourishment, that was going to sustain them down in the valley, was fixing to take them out up on the hill up there. My friend, listen, I want you to know something today. It's all about where you're looking at it from. I want you to know something today. My way may look like a drudgery. You say, I don't want to live that way. I'm not giving up this and that. But it's just your point of view. You don't realize what I'm looking at today. That looks like defeat to you is really a great victory in my soul today. Hey, I want you to know something today. You'll never give up so much that God can't bless it back.
Amen.
There they were. Valley become full of blood to them. You know what I believe they done? I believe they throwed their swords down. Throwed their shields down, dropped all of their protection, and said, Moab to the spoil.
Yeah.
They fought against one another, and now listen. They thought they had won this thing. Because
yeah.
It looked like them down there was defeated. You know what? These people in these universities and all that, they look at you and me as little ignorant bunch.
Yeah.
And we've lost.
Yeah.
That's what they think. And their plan is to come and to destroy and wipe Christianity completely out of that's what they think they're gonna do. But see, what they think defeat, it's victory for us.
Boy.
Listen, the worse it gets, the closer home we are. My friend, the more the devil rages, that just means the trumpet is getting closer. I find nothing in the Bible that would stop him from getting me out of this mess today. So my friend, listen, you may be up on the high mountain looking down at me and say, hey, I don't have to be like that. I don't need none of that. Hey, but you just don't realize I'm drinking water from a new well. My friend, you can't see it. You didn't see it come in. You didn't see it leave. But I seen the effects of it today. I want you to know something today. If you'll be obedient, God has something. are you?
Amen.
It's just 11 o'clock at my time. So I got a few more minutes. I want to ask you something today. This is your season of revival. Do you want something different than what you got? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Right.
They've got a definition for that. Doing the same thing over and over. Mama, you want the kids to see the water in your valley? Are you willing to do that that God wants you to do? Some of us grandma and grandpas, a large portion of God getting to our kids, our grandkids, is going to be laid upon us. Am I willing to dig a ditch in the middle of a desert because God said He'd fill it with water? Am I willing to get outside of what everybody else says works and do what God?
Amen.
You know what a lot of them, all the educated folks would have told them to dig down. He told them to dig across.
Yeah.
Just dig, 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 dig. Don't dig wells, dig ditches.
Yeah.
I wonder, are you willing to do what God wants you to do to have victory in your life? Can I say every one of us at some point in our life has walked out of the will of God?
Jehoshaphat would have been much better advised to stay away from Jeroboam. But God was merciful with him when he got down there and his people. Went
down a path I shouldn't have went. God sent a word. And when I was obedient, He sent water to my parched soul. Could we be honest today and say I'm not exactly what I ought to be? I'm not doing everything God wants me to do. I've kind of slacked up. See, I don't know none of you. Me and Brother Kevin ain't talked. I wouldn't have come preach for him if he wanted to tell me what everything was going on, because I don't want to know, because that hindered me. But I feel like this morning, there's some good folks, but you're living way beneath your means in Christ. And part of it is because you've let outside forces. Sometimes you'll get pulled into other people's dramas and other people's mess. But aren't you glad there's a Savior above that has what you need this morning?
Thank God.
How long's it been since you've had a good drink of water? I'm talking about how long's it been since your thirst was completely satisfied? If you could have revival in your heart this morning, if you'll just be obedient to God.
Yeah.
Do you want it bad enough? Listen, preacher, if I go up and pray, they'll think I'm... Listen, the altar is not a place of shame. It's a place of gain. Listen, the altar was never set up for sinners. It was set up for the children of God.
Amen.
Go back to the origin of the altar. It was for God's people. It's still place so they can have access to the throne of God today.
Amen.
Would you like to come pray? How long's it been since you drank of the hell? You've tasted that honey that come out of the rock, that sweet. That sweetness of God. How long's it been since you've had a real touch from God this morning? Do you want revival? Are you willing to be obedient? Are you willing to have victory? I don't care what nobody else says. I'm going with Him, Brother King.
Amen. Amen.
Staying with Him.
Amen.
If you saw. I'm not going to make it for him. I'm going to die. But I can tell you, my God's good to me.
Amen.
And He cares about things y'all don't care nothing about.
Yeah. That's right for sure.
I've got four little chicken houses down there in Alabama, and y'all don't care nothing about them. But I've got a God.
Yeah.
That's right, ain't it, Mama? He cares about us. He cares about me. And I want to be obedient. Why? Because not that He will be good to me, but because He has been good. Listen, if He had done nothing but save me, I couldn't live that out the rest of my life. But oh, it's sweet. His blessings are new every day. I wonder this morning, do you need to pray? How long's it been? How long's it been since you've had a victory? God has it right before you if you'll just come this morning. It's time for some folks to dig some ditches. You're thirsty. Do that God wants you to do. Brother Kevin, you come with us. Come with the invitation. Whatever you feel like you need to do this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to pray. I've done my best to pour my heart out to you this morning and let you know there's victory in Jesus this morning. Do you want victory today? Are you willing to move? Are you willing to admit that, hey, it's not God that's the problem, it's me. It's not my neighbors. It's not the church down the road. It's me. The only one can stop my fellowship this morning is me. My wife can't live like the devil enough to hinder me. That's right. Nobody has separated you from God. If there's a coldness in your soul, it's not what other people are doing.